Hey, have you ever heard the word inertia? If you went in physics class in high school or in college, of course, we've all heard what inertia is, and we think of it. I always thought of inertia as just you're kind of stuck. Well, that's part of it, but it's even more than that. It's a law of physics on the matter around us that things tend to continue in the same direction or the lack of direction that they're going today, which means if you're stuck, you're stuck. And if you're moving down in a certain direction, you keep going in that direction unless some new external force comes into play. And boy, does that have spiritual application. So it's not only matter in my view, I think it also includes such things as our marriage. And we want to continue a discussion from last week, midweek, where we talked to folks all around the country about inertia, maybe feeling helpless, hopeless, sadness. Maybe you're just feeling stuck or just heading in the wrong direction. You just say, well, either boredom or wrong direction in our life or finance or relationship. And so we just opened the phone lines. We got people who are going to join us here in a moment. Just tell us one thing they're doing to break inertia in their marriage. If you want to share your story, call our story line, 888-888-1717. You ready to go, Jennifer? All right, let's get going. Sarah is first in Georgia. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Fantastic. What have you been doing to break inertia in your marriage? Good thing.
Yeah, I would say that I think when I realized that making choices about things that I'm going to do that serve my husband rather than serve me have just really been helpful over the years in my marriage and just making my marriage a better, more loving and just happier marriage.
Well, I agree, but we probably have some listening and saying, does that mean that he's a taker and you're the giver only in this marriage?
I would say that I find the more that I serve my husband and the more that I consider his needs and his wants in the things that I am doing, it's actually the opposite where I feel that he then does the same thing for me. And he's motivated to do those things for me because of the way that I also do them for him.
Mm. Interesting how that works, isn't it? There's always an opposite, but in a positive reaction to whatever we can put into our marriage. Generally, that's the case because we're human beings.
Sure.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I'm glad you're listening in Georgia today. Hope you have a fantastic day, Sarah.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Listening to Intentional Living there in Middle Georgia. And you know, Sarah said something really important. You know, we talk about this thing of giving and serving. And I mean, some people say, why should I do that? My husband or my wife's a jerk. And I'll tell you what, we do it because it's biblical. We do it because God commands it. But I always say God gets the glory, but we get the benefit. And I know it doesn't always turn out this way. But I'll tell you, my experience in working with people is when you change the system or the inertia in your marriage in a positive way, over time, there tends to be some positive reaction that comes back. Or at least something to get on the table to say we can discuss as a result of us taking the responsibility to do what we can to change inertia into a positive direction. All right, back to call. Sue is in California.
Yes.
How are you today, Sue?
I'm doing fine. Good morning to you. It's about 11:32 a.m. here.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate hearing from you. Tell me, what's been your one thing for your marriage?
Well, because life has its own way of working, you know, I have always dealt with my adversities in a positive manner, you know, positive attitude. And I always want to be the change, you know, that what I want to, like, it starts from me, beginning from me. In my marriage, I'm only responsible for my own self, you know.
Yep.
What thoughts I keep, positive thoughts I keep, what actions, helpful actions, having a helping hand, being helpful is prime. So I want to be the change, you know, instead of just thinking like the things will change in my marriage. So I'm working towards it, being the change inside in me with my increased sense of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and ultimately self-realization. And when I realize how important, how immortal and really divine is a marriage vows and I have kept my marriage vows in sickness or health. Right now, unfortunately, I'm dealing with my downside in my life and very life-threatening medical issues I'm dealing with. So I'm praying to God to instill in me through meditations and prayers that I have enough strength to endure what Lord has for me every single time, because everything begins with your thought.
Yeah, it does.
So keeping me myself positive.
Yeah, the automatic thoughts. Absolutely.
Hey. Exactly, and acting towards the change that I would like to see in me first, of course, and then in my marriage.
Absolutely, that's what we. There's a lot of truth there. We should behave in the way that we want to become. I mean, that's the way life is. Can I pray with you, Sue, for you?
Sure. Hey. God bless you for doing it.
And I would invite others to join in. And I'm glad you're listening to the station to let the reminder of God's intentional love for you through the worship music and through the programming be an encouragement to you. Lord, I do pray for Sue and others like Sue today who are facing, I mean, some huge challenges physically or financially or whatever in their life, and they're feeling stuck. And Lord, the word that we heard from Sue is that learning to take responsibility, to keep moving, and to trust you every day is a powerful thing. And I pray that you'll bless Sue and encourage her, give wisdom to the doctors, and touch her body and the challenges she's facing. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Sue. And I'm glad you're listening in beautiful California today. All right. We didn't take a break yet, have we? All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. Crystal, hang on. We got more calls. We're talking about the power of one thing to break inertia in marriage.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I'm just calling in to make a comment on what I'm doing intentionally for my marriage and towards my husband.
Support from listeners like you is helping others live intentionally.
He is not saved, but I'm praying for him every day. Also, 1 Peter 3:5, I'm trying to live it out where it says, wives, be submissive to your husband, even though they are not in the word, for by your conduct they shall be won over. And since I've been doing that for the last couple of years, he is now going to church. He's going twice a week. He still hasn't made that commitment in his heart yet, but faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God, and he's way further than when he was several years ago.
Impacting lives for Christ is what Intentional Living is all about, and you can help make a difference by becoming a member of the Intentional Living support team right now. Call 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717.
Hey, when you do, you're a part of a great group of people who are choosing to get up every day and say, I want to be a little more intentional in my walk in Christ, in my health, my finances, my relationships, and they're supporting what we do here. And you help keep the radio program, our podcast, all that we do going. And you can join us today. When you do, what happens is you'll get access immediately to all of our resources, our online platform for our monthly members. How do you do that? You can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go on over to the website anytime at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. If you're new, I know we got a lot of people who are just spinning the dial or listening to podcasts for the first time. What is intentional living? Seven words. We want to help you experience life as God intended. We want to help you experience your life as God intended. You can take that word life and plug in your finances. You could plug in the word marriage. You could plug in the word your thinking, whatever it is, your life, right? We want you to experience it the way God intended, which raises the big question. What does God intend? And that's sort of what we want to unpack here from day to day by hearing the stories of people, sharing God's word, understanding what his intention is, This is not perfection radio, by the way, because we're going to all fall. And I've always tried to do my radio on my weakest points because it helps me. At the end of the show, I feel better. So maybe this is self-serving. I don't know. But the idea is we all struggle in life. We all got stuff going on. And when we choose to bring glory to God by being more intentional, here's a little secret. You benefit. Your marriage benefits. When you do the things you're hearing today are things you know that are in accordance with God's intention for your marriage, you're going to benefit. That's why we do this. All right. Crystal's going to join in from Arizona. Hi, Crystal. How are you today?
Hi, Dr. Andy. I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
So I was at a point in our marriage where I felt like our marriage was practically over, and I was reminded that I made a promise that I wouldn't just up and leave and start life over, because that historically has been my escape habit.
Yeah.
And God reminded me that the covenant of marriage is not just between me and my husband, Ricardo, but it's between me, Ricardo, and him first. And so I started going to a ladies' Bible study that a friend of mine had invited me to. And I got a lot of encouragement and answers. And then I started going to family Bible study with my kids. And next thing you know, my husband actually started going to church with us, and I just started praying more and more for our marriage.
Wow.
And now, you know, we're actually communicating again and having conversations without treating each other like we are complete enemies. And it's been really great.
You know, we talk about inertia here, Crystal, today, and just using that as a word picture, you guys were headed in the wrong direction, and you just decided to say, hey, something's got to give here. I mean, we got to change, and you broke the inertia by making a better decision than saying, I'm just walking out the door.
Yeah, my thing was, I've always loved my husband, and I know before I even met him, I had dreamed about him. So I knew he was the one man that I was supposed to spend the rest of my life with. Mm. And I couldn't give up on that, especially knowing how much I would hurt him. Even though we acted like each other's enemies, I knew that we still loved each other. And so I was just, God, I don't know what to do. Like, I cannot do this on my own. We're about to have another baby. We just had another baby. And I just don't know what to do. And I know this is the man that I'm supposed to grow old with and spend the rest of my life with. But how do I get from here to there, you know?
Yeah. And well, what I heard, Crystal, was you changed. And as a result of that, that had an impact on your husband.
Yes, I would say so. Even the kids are starting to be like, wow, Dad's not angry. And
That's good for you. So you're on the journey still. You're still on the journey.
We are.
Yeah.
We are, yes.
How long have you been on this journey, this change? Months, years, how long?
So our anniversary is actually this month. We'll be together 15 years, and we have, well, between the two of us, we're a blended family, so we're going on 10 kids.
Wow, that's a big number.
Yeah.
That's a big bus.
Yeah.
Good for you.
We're very blessed.
All right, listen, you summed it up really well for us here, Crystal. And some of you are maybe where Crystal was. You're just feeling like giving up on whatever's going on. And I know sometimes that happens. I understand. But I also understand that sometimes, like Crystal's story, like Crystal saying basically, hey, I'm not really thrilled with myself here. Getting plugged into a Bible study, getting into a right environment, taking the kids, being intentional, getting into a church. And husband thinking, well, maybe I'm kind of on the outside here. Let me join in. And he gets to be a part of this process. gets in and now things are starting to change and move in the right direction. Does that mean they're not going to have another problem or two? No. We're not talking about perfection. But here's a reality. You and I know this intuitively. When we make better decisions, we get better outcome. We don't have to, everything doesn't have to be over spiritualized. It's just common sense. God created the world to have a certain order. And when we do things in a certain way, in an orderly way, in a godly way, as God intended, better things happen. When we do dumb things, stupid things, destructive things, bad things tend to happen. And we all know that. And Satan camps on those things in our life. Anything from an addiction to jealousy to pride to unfaithfulness. Come on. You and I know when we choose to say, I want to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, according to Scripture, that's what it says in Ephesians, figure out what pleases Christ and do it. God gets the glory. I get the benefit. That's what we're talking about today. All right. Let me get to one more call, and then I think we'll take a quick break. Let's go to Kim in Michigan today. Kim, go right ahead. What's your one thing?
Hey, Dr. Randy. I came to this awareness that the best way for my wife to communicate with me is if I'm sitting down. Because every day I have my list of things to do. And when I get going on my list, sometimes I notice that she's talking to my back. And it's like, well, this isn't working very well. And sometimes she'll tell me, would you just stop and listen to me? So I find that the best way for me to be in a stop position is if I'm sitting. And I get the signal that she feels she's heard when I'm sitting in a chair. So that's my one thing.
There's something about the way God wired us. If we're not paying attention, we're not, even though we're hearing it, you know, you can be working. I know how that goes. I can be doing something and I'm hearing it and processing it. But without that sense of attention, focus, eye contact, the person speaking to you has no clue that you're listening.
And even better than sitting is because I can be sitting with a computer in front of me and that doesn't help matters yeah. much. So I have to turn away from the computer. There has to be the eye contact, and then the communication mm-hmm. happens.
That's right. It's helpful. You know, I've noticed I'm a noticer. That's the kind of way I'm wired. I'm a noticer. Like when Don and I go out to a restaurant, I notice different responses of people to the waiters or servers. There's some people never look at them. Can I get you something to drink or what would you like? And they're looking at their menu and they never make contact with the server. And I'm wondering how the server feels. So I've always been intentional. I always try to make contact with the person, let them know I'm here, appreciate their service. I think that makes a difference in their life. It makes a difference for me as well. And who knows, I might get more breadsticks. I don't know. I don't know. You think so, Jennifer? I maybe get more breadsticks. All right. So you know where we're going, right? Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break. Now I got food on my mind. We'll be right back.
I have two small children, and so listening to what people call in about, it makes it very relatable to know that you're not going through it alone.
Intentional Living helps moms like Sarah live an intentional life for Christ. And now you can access many of Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings on various topics whenever you want. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And when you do, we say a big thank you for your support. Again, theintentionallife.com, our resources. We'd love to get into your hands. You can find out more there or call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Back to the calls. Carmen in Michigan. All right. What's your one thing?
So the biggest thing that we have learned in our marriage, and we've been together for 19 years, and I have to tell you that marriage is hard work and it is a roller coaster, and you have your ups and downs in your marriage, but we have learned to let go of resentment, to not let the transgressions of yesterday come into today with us. And that has changed our relationship tremendously.
Mm-hmm. forgetting those things which are behind, Paul said, and pressing ahead toward the goal, because he could have lingered on the good and bad of his past, right? You think about past, he had a past, but he chose to be very intentional. Great reminder for us, Carmen. I appreciate it. All right, let's go to Meredith next. What's your one thing, Meredith?
Actually, it's something my husband totally does on his own. Okay. We're both pretty crazy coffee drinkers. I worked at Starbucks in college, so I love my coffee. My husband drinks it black, and usually he gets it at work. And then I have the kids in the morning, and so what I just totally melts my heart is when I go to the coffee cupboard and I make my coffee and I get the sugar shaker down, and it's been refilled. And it sounds so silly, and, you know, most of like, okay, whatever. But to me, it just is just a totally selfless thing that he does.
Because he doesn't use it. It's not for him. It's not about
him. It's not for him. He doesn't use sugar in his coffee, and most of the time he gets coffee at work. So when he does that, it's like after I've gone to bed or something. Like he's noticed that, oh, the sugar's low, and she's going to want some in her coffee, and he'll refill it. So it may seem silly to some people, but it totally melts my heart, because it's like he intentionally thought of me in that moment and knew it would mean something to me. So I appreciate when he does that.
It is a little things, that's for sure. Hey, cookie jar. No, sugar jar. Sorry about that. That was a slip. Maybe it was a note to Donna. Cookie jar. Keep it full. All right. We're talking about one thing for your marriage. Robert, it looks like here that you guys have been on sort of a spiritual journey together. Go ahead. Tell us about your one thing.
Well, from my own experience, we've been married 22 years, and the absolute best years of our marriage have been the last 7. And the reason for that is we decided to give our heart to Jesus. We got baptized together, and we just basically took the plunge, you know, gave it all up. What I encourage other couples, you know, number one, get right with God. And number two, do things as a couple. Worship together. Serve in your church together. Look for opportunities to help others together.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, what brought you to this, though? You said you both, same time, what kind of brought this to a head spiritually in your life?
You know, to be quite honest with you, our son is what kind of led us to Christ. He started going to a youth center. He got baptized before we did. And I didn't want to get baptized without my wife being baptized, because I felt that was going to be somewhat of a conflict. So I just prayed and I asked God to put it in her heart. Just out of the blue, she said, you know what, we're going to get baptized. So I was very happy we got baptized together. And so, you know, what led to it, I'm really not sure. I think it was just probably my son praying for us.
Wow. Thank you, Robert. You know, when I hear you all sharing your stories, that scripture sort of pops into my head to support what you're saying. And I was thinking of that little verse in Amos chapter 3 where it says, how can two people walk together unless they be in agreement? And one of the things you did to break maybe inertia in your marriage was you came into agreement spiritually. And for you, being baptized together was representative of what that decision for you. That's very powerful. And I know some of you listening, you say, I wish that with my story, in my marriage, it's not. And it may never be. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, find those areas where you can have agreement in your marriage. Look at what is going right as opposed to what's not going right in your relationship. All right. Before we run out of time, I think we got time just for one more. Stephanie from Arizona, go right ahead. What's your one thing?
Yes. The way we work on our marriage is constantly trying to put our marriage before our children.
That's good. How do you do that?
We try to make sure that we stay focused on each other, you know, with activities and things that happen. Life gets busy. So date nights and just making sure we have one-on-one time with each other.
Now, do the kids go like, hey, we don't like that, and they try to butt in and pay attention to me when you're trying to pay attention to each other?
Well, we have a six-year-old, so he'll come in and sneak in on a hug or whatever. But mostly, no. They're very loving and kind, and they're excited whenever we go anywhere. We always try to do an activity with them ahead of time, and then we make it known that, hey, we're going out to have time for us.
Yeah, that's good. What difference has that made, do you think, in your family and to your kids?
It makes a big difference, because with life gets busy, and if you can't show affection and time for each other, then the importance of your marriage just kind of dwindles. So for our kids, it shows them that it's okay to be a little selfish and take some time to show somebody that you love them and that you're going to put the effort forward.
Yeah.
And it shows them a respect of how to treat their spouse when they get older and why that's important.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
As the mom, I tend to, oh, my child. But they're not my child. They're God's child. And so I have to remember in the back of my mind, eventually they're going to grow and leave us. And I'm going to be left with a spouse that either I know and I love and I adore, or somebody that I don't know and I don't really even want to be with. So that relationship is so important. And many times as moms, we tend to put our kids ahead of our husbands. And that's just not God's plan for us.
Yeah, it's really a dumb thing to do, because you just said it. Those kids are going to grow up. They're going to get their own family. They get their own life. They're going to go off to school or whatever. And like you said, you're going to roll over one day and look at your husband and say, who in the world is this guy? And and this is where there's two times in marriage that we see divorce take a jump. One is the first 7 years of marriage, because things are not settled. And the second time is when there's an empty nest. And what occurs there is what you just mentioned. You know, we've been busy with kids and doing things now. There's nothing between the two of us. And if you're not giving those daily investments into the account of your marriage, boy, it catches up with you. So doing things, like you say, having a date night, doing things that have to be expensive, spending time, investing into each other, on an intentional basis has made a difference. How long have you been married?
We've been married 8 years only.
8 years. How would you rate your marriage on a scale of 1 to 10?
We have a great marriage, but we also have a great pastor that's very Bible teaching. And so anytime we kind of dwindle off, there always seems to be that message on that Sunday morning. But it's actually on a scale of 1 to 10, I want to say about a 9.
All right. Well, that gives you a little room for growth. But it's also, you got one of those kind of pastors that always reminds you of how we're supposed to be following Christ every Sunday. Not just a little sermonette, but teaching the truth. And boy, do we need that today now more than ever. So God bless you pastors across the land. I hope you're getting into the Word, sharing the Word, teaching the Word in a way that's loving, but also telling the truth to followers of Christ today. We all need it, helping them to be intentional. And you can go ahead and use that word all you like. In fact, I hear it a lot because it's a word that matters. If you want to have a life that matters and you want to experience God's best for your life, figure out what pleases Him and then do it. That's what the Bible teaches. Thanks, supporters. Thanks, those who are praying for us. God bless you. Thank you, Jennifer, Amy, Gino, and the rest of the team. I'm Dr. Randy for Intentional Living. We'll see you next time. This is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.